Okay, so today we're going to talk about that introduction to a whole bunch of prohibitions in Perek Yud Ches. In the opening of Perek Yud Ches is all about forbidden relationships. And there's an introduction to this whole discussion in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Gimel, where Hashem tells us, Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Ba Lo Sa'asu, like the deeds of the land of Egypt where you lived, you should not do. Uchemase Eretz Kenan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sa'asu, and like the deeds of the land of Canaan that I'm about to bring you, you also shouldn't do. So they engage in bad ma'asim. They engage in bad actions, so you should not act like the way the Egyptians acted, and you should not act the way the Canaanites will behave when you go there. Uvechukoseam lo telechu, and also don't walk in their statutes. So, question is again. Well, we have a couple of questions here. This is an introduction to a whole bunch of sexual prohibitions, and I want to know, like, what are the maasim? What are the chukim? Are they the same? Are they different? Are they related to the halachot after them, the prohibitions after them? I would have assumed that when it says kemaase eretz Mitzrayim, kemaase eretz Canaan, so those are the deeds. Those are the forbidden actions that the rest of the parak describes, the forbidden relationships that the Torah describes. But then it also says, and don't follow their statutes. Is that something different? Or is that an introduction to what? To the rest of Perek Yud Ches? You understand my question? Is this a standalone commandment, or is it related to the rest of the chapter? So what do you think? What do you think? What's the prohibition of uvechukoseam lo telechu? Any thoughts? Have you ever heard of certain where someone says if you do this, this is chukas hagoyim. This is the laws of the non-Jews. I don't know what that means, but we'll see what that means. So this is the source.
Rishonim will say like different, don't wear like they wear or
So
whatever.
don't wear like they wear, that's chukas ha'akum. So in other words, if this is the source for that, so v'chukos eblo telecho is something in addition to what is mentioned. In other words, the Torah tells us, don't act like the Egyptians, like the Canaanim, and also don't follow their statutes, and the statutes are something in addition to the forbidden relationships that are mentioned in the Perek.
It's also like, the Torah has homosexuality, it doesn't have lesbianism. So they say that the Mitzrayim were like into lesbianism also, so that's a part of that.
On this Gilui Arayot and having relations with animals and all kind of things like that. So that's what I guess Hashem is just trying to.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is if you're saying that it's referring to the forbidden relationships that I mentioned in the Perek, that is probably covered in Maaseh Eretz Yisrael. So now there's not only is Maaseh forbidden, but also Chukoseim is also forbidden. So is Chukoseim something different? So I'm trying to understand that. So we're going to study two basic approaches, then maybe we'll finish with a third approach. So the first approach is that B'chukoseim lo telechu has nothing to do with all the prohibitions in Perek Yud Chet. Rashi takes this view. So what is B'chukoseim lo telechu? Ma niyach hakas shlomar? What did the pasuk leave that it didn't say? Like what else is there? Ela elo nimusos shelahem. These are their social practices. Devar hacha kukim lahem. So why is it called chukoseim? It's things that are, I guess, engraved into them. So, something that's like part and parcel of their culture. B'chukos say it's not an official law. It's behaviors that really define their culture. Kigod, tartios, va'at stadios. Like different going to circuses or certain gladiator sports stadiums, where so these are certain practices which are forbidden. In Rabbi Meir Omer Elu Darche Ha'amori Shabbat Chamim, these are some superstitious practices. In other words, Rashi says B'chuchosem Lo Tilechu refer to certain practices that are not technically mentioned anywhere in the Torah that's forbidden, but these are certain cultural practices by the non-Jew that are ingrained. And the question is, why is it forbidden yet? Maybe we have to think about why they're forbidden. Some of these pagan practices are forbidden. Ibn Ezra, within this camp, says, "B'chosem lo tilechu, shlo yargil adam lechaz b'derchazeh ad shielam lo chok." Don't follow. Ibn Ezra says, "Don't follow these social practices to the extent that they will become a law." Okay. So, what are these practices? So, there's a halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, which seems to be based on this approach, in Yoredeya, Hilchos Chukos Ovdei Kochavim, the statutes of the pagans, Simon Kufay and Chesi Falef, there the Shulchan Aruch writes, in Hochim B'chukos Ovdei Kochavim, we don't follow the statutes of the pagans, Lo Medabin Lahem, and we don't do things similar to them, V'lo Yilbash Mabush HaMiyuchad Lahem, you can't wear unique clothing that's unique to them, Lo Yigdal Tzitzis Rosho Kamo Tzitzis Rosho. You can't wear, I guess, your hairstyle can't be similar to theirs. Don't shave from the sides and leave, I guess, the hair in the middle. Don't shave the hair from by your face, from ear to ear, and leave some a piece that was uncovered. These are all different types of hairstyles, I guess, from the pagans. You shouldn't build places that are like the houses of worship of the pagans, just like the way they did it. And the Rama writes, you have to distinguish yourself from them in your clothing and other deeds. So, I mean, it's an interesting question. How far do you go when it comes to that? Should we, for example, I mean, right now, I'm wearing... What?
You can't go to baseball
games. Okay, so we have to talk about, like, so, or I would say even more differently. Right now, I'm wearing a suit. I think non-Jews would probably also wear these suits. So we have to define what this is. So, the Rama writes, very important qualification. He says, the kol zeh eino aser ela b'davar shenagu ba'ov dikham l'shum pritzus. What is forbidden? It's only to engage in those practices that the pagans do for immodest reasons. For example, if they're wearing red clothing. So it's in certain societies, red clothing is a, you know, provocative type of clothing. It's associated with inappropriate immoral behavior. And he says, it's some kind of licentious clothing. So let's say they have a certain custom and it's not clear what the reason is and you're concerned, it could be something superstitious. Or something that has, it smacks of idolatry. But if there's something that they do for a particular purpose, it is not at all connected to any kind of like sexual immorality or any kind of idolatry. Let's say that people wear, or doctors, they wear white coats. So for you to wear a white coat to clarify that you're a doctor, there's nothing wrong with that. So it seems, again, that what is forbidden, according to this first approach, are social practices that are either, quote, Rashi, ingrained as, you know, social norms in society, or Ibn Ezra, if they start off as social practices to the extent that they become the law, and it's not mentioned in the Torah elsewhere that it's forbidden, but these are practices that are tied to something inappropriate, immoral, or idolatrous. And that's what the Torah tells you. Not only are the prohibitions mentioned in Perek Yud Ches forbidden, all the forbidden sexual relationships, also just engaging in behavior that's either idolatrous or connected to something inappropriate, those things are also forbidden. So that's sort of one way to understand that. Another way to understand it is that no, this halacha b'chulsev lo tilechu is actually connected to the rest of Perek Yud Ches. Again, Perek Yud Ches and Sefer and Parshas Achrimos is all about these forbidden relationships. Why isn't that covered when the Torah says kima say Eretz Mitzrayim, like the deeds of the Egyptians you shouldn't do? What's b'chukoseya? So Shadal, for example, writes b'chol atoevos haniskaros lefanenu lo matzon inyan shiyeh chok el havaras habarim lemolech. So in all these prohibitions, one of the prohibitions in Perek Yud Ches is you can't give over your children to molech, as a form of idolatry. So all these things where the Torah says you can't engage in appropriate relationships with someone who's married, with a relative, with same gender, with whatever, the animal, whatever the different forbidden relationships. So he says we never find that it's a halacha, that's a chok when it comes to the non-Jews. Other than there is one chok that sometimes the non-Jews, sometimes the idolaters, for molech, that was a chok. So a chok, in other words, a chok is something that there's a law associated with it. So when the Torah is saying, don't engage in the ma'asim, the actions, so that refers to those behaviors that societies, that the Egyptian and Canaanite societies did. What are the chukoseyam? Those are the forbidden behaviors that are actually mandated by law. And in fact, Shadal says, Venera, but it seems, Ki kumosha yibum hu chok etzleinu. We have, among Jews, we have yibum. What's yibum? That if someone's, a woman is not allowed to marry her husband's brother, ever. Right? That's an erva. That's the forbidden relationship. Even if she divorces her husband, she can't marry her husband's brother. Even if her husband's dies, she can't marry her husband's brother. But there's a chok called yibum, according to Jews, that if a woman's married to a man and the husband dies, they don't have any children, so then it's a law, it's a chok that she must marry the brother. So the Shadal says probably, kach tzas min arayas hayachok etzal umos, ahena pitanam yiduim. Says he, because he hasn't checked the literature, but he would assume that probably among some of the ancient pagan legal codes, there were probably certain situations where they mandated, they required under some circumstances that you were actually obligated to marry someone for whom it was forbidden to do so according to the Torah. So that's what he thinks it means. Not chukoseyam is not a new law. It is saying that you can't engage in a behavior, in a forbidden behavior in Perek Yud Ches, that might be in some circles an actual law in that society. And the Sifra points out similarly, O Kamaser Kamaser Kanan Lo Sasu, Yachol Lo Yivnu Binyanos Lo Yitu Nitiyos Kamo. So you might think that you shouldn't build, he said you can't engage in any of their deeds. So you might think you shouldn't build buildings. The non-Jews build buildings, you also shouldn't build buildings. Lo Yitu Nitiyos, you can't plant trees. The non-Jews plant trees, maybe that's what it means. No, Tamalor v'chuko seim loch telechu. No. What can't you do? They're chukim. Lo marti ela b'chukim achakukim lahem v'lavoseim v'lavosavoseim. That the types of laws that were ingrained into them and their ancestors. Umahe maho yuosim, what would they do? Ho'ish no se le'ish v'isha le'isha. So Sifra writes that the same gender marriage was mandated in certain societies. Ha'ish no se isha obita. And some societies, like the Sifra, I guess apparently had the Medrash had access that a man would marry a woman and her daughter. You can sort of imagine that. I mean, why am I saying this? That you can imagine that, let's say a man's married to a woman, and they have a child, they have a young child, And then what happens? So now she's stuck. The daughter, you know, she's widowed. Then she gets widowed. So maybe under those circumstances, marry the mother and the daughter, because otherwise, no one would marry the daughter. Maybe after that, again, obviously, this is awful and wrong according to the Torah. But maybe in some kind of convoluted logic, in some societies, according to the Medrash, a man would marry a woman and her daughter. Va'isha nisei slishtaim, a woman can marry two men. So there is an ancient document that was uncovered by Professor Amalie Kurt from University College in London, which says, because your country is barbarous, it is usual that a brother takes his sister or female cousin sexually, but that is not right in my country. So we see that there was an ancient document where brothers may marry sisters. Okay. So this is a sort of a second approach. In other words, according to Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, the problem of Chukusem Lo Telechu is it's a problem of new practices that are not explicitly forbidden in the Torah, but that are connected to immorality, that are connected to idolatry. According to Shaddal and the Sifra, the problem is when the non-Jews codify existing practices. In other words, it's not just don't engage in their ma'asim, in their forbidden, in the behaviors that they engage in, but don't engage in it even when it becomes a chok, a law. What's the difference? So my opinion that it's much more tempting for us to violate a sin that is not merely a practice, but it becomes a law. Why? Because I think a law implies rationality. Now, let's say some people do something, we think it's silly, it's ridiculous what some people do, whatever social conventions people have. However, once an anti-Torah practice becomes a law, then I think it's naturally harder for us to challenge, because once it becomes a law, then there's an apparent rationality by the society. So the Torah is warning us that not only should you not engage in their behaviors that they do, if the Torah says it's forbidden, but even if they legalize it, so there is this implication by outside society that it makes sense, it's rational, so much so that it became a law, still we should not engage in this behavior. So those are two different approaches. I'd like to finish with a third approach by Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Shimshon Raphael Hirsch very beautifully the following. He says that K'maaseh lo tasu v'chukusem lo telechu. So he says, and he brings a proof that the words pa'al and asa mitzaynim bikar et hahitnagut hachevratit. He proves them elsewhere that if the Torah uses the word pa'al or asa, that refers to social behavior. V'ilu halach, or as in the word lo telechu, mityaches ledarko ha-musarit shel ha-prat. The word halach or telechu refers to the ethical behavior of the individual. And he writes, v'chein nira davar gam kan. He thinks that's the case in this situation. Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, maaseh Eretz Kanan. The behavior of Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Kanan, what is that? That is, heim hahitnagut hachevratit shebein hamechaveiro. These are the social interactions between a Jew and his fellow Jew. I'm sorry, not Jew and his fellow Jew. Between a man and his fellow man. V'ilu leches b'chukoseyem mitzayein et halichot haprat. So this refers to the what? The individual behaviors. This refers to the individual behaviors. Now, that are in society. So the hamitgashmot b'chaye hayechidit v'ha'mishpachot. So this refers to the private life that take place within the individuals and within the family. Now, the hahitnagut hachevratit, musteret aide chokei hamidina. Social behavior is organized by the laws of the country. The ilu halichot haprat mitnahalot al pi haklalim shenitkatshu b'koach haminhag. The light private moral behavior that takes place in the family, so that becomes sanctified by custom. How we behave inside our home, it's not legally mandated. That's how we individually decide. Custom is to social behavior, to act a certain way. Social interactions between different people in public, that's by the law. And he says, Mishpatei Eretz Mitzrayim chotru tachat kvodam v'cheruto shel adam. The laws of Egypt, the social laws, they tunneled under the dignity and freedom of man. In other words, the laws of Egypt rejected human freedom. V'ilu chukot eretz kenan kitshu pritzut musariot. The laws of, or the statutes of Eretz Canaan, they sanctified immoral behavior. Ad lidyota tachtono shel hit bahamot. Because even to such a low level of acting like animalistic behavior. So I guess, I don't know how Rav Hirsch knew that, but he assumes that the maaseh eretz mitzrayim, I don't know if he's proving, because it really says maaseh for both. It's he says the maaseh eretz mitzrayim, so that the Egyptians were known to be, not ethical from a societal standpoint, because they rejected freedom and liberty, and the Canaanim, they're known to be immoral. Ulam kvar balam shlifnei amabul haya chamas vashchatat derech ba'im kruchim. He said even in the world before the flood, there was both violence and also hashchasas, referring to immorality, and they're tied together. Ve'anshe stone varia kikar hayu ra'im v'chati'im ke'achad. So he understands that Sodom, ra'im v'chati'im, both, what's ra and chait, refer to both violence and also immorality. We know, of course, that they were known, on the one hand, they weren't kind to guests, and also, when they wanted to get to know Lot, what did they say? They told Lot, let's see the guests, v'nei da'otam, and that has connotations of sexuality. So, and they're called to sodomize, obviously, it's something sexual in nature. V'chein atam motzei tamid, and this is what I'm first writing, so you will always find this. She'mishpatim v'chukim mashpim zeh alzeh. That both societal laws and family morals influence each other. Hashchata musarit v'oshek chevrati ba'im kruchim la'olam. The moral depravity and social oppression always come together. Rachaye mishpacha shel tara musarit yatzmichu am shel mishpat vatzedek. Only a family life of purity and morality, through that will grow a nation of justice and righteousness. V'rak am ha'oset tzedako mishpat yigadal anashim haturim b'musarav. And only a nation that engages in righteousness and justice, where they have a sense, a moral sense, will raise people who are holy in their morals, or pure in their morals. Ha'eved ha'chevrati u'gam natul chevrut musarit. A social slave, right? A slave society will also, also is taken in them the sense of morality. U'lefichach ha'pticha l'chukim. And therefore is an opening to the chukim hamastirim et chaye hamin v'et binyan mishpacha. As we begin in Perek Yud Chet to discuss basic morality, which is the basis of building a family, matzpia al hashchata hachevratit v'amusarit shenit galta b'mitzrayim v'chinan. So that leads to social destruction and moral destruction that was found in Egypt and Canaan. V'chachi omeret, and this is what the pasuk is telling you: al tehi hashpat mitzrayim v'chinan nikeret bechayechem hachevratim v'amusarim. Do not allow Egyptian and Canaanite influence be recognized in your lives, in your social lives, in your ethical lives. Lo mi Mitzrayim v'chanan tlam du mishpatim v'chukim. You should not learn mishpatim or chukim, social laws and also family laws from Egypt or Canaan. Ela et mishpatai tasu v'et chukatai tishru. But rather, you should observe my mishpatim and chukim. So Kohen Rav Hirsch, very beautifully, the Torah is telling us that if we want to have a holy society, a society that gets along and that promotes freedom and promotes liberty and promotes values of helping each other and kindness and compassion, it must be based on morality. Morality in the home leads to morality among in society, and morality in society leads to morality at home. And they're connected to each other. So we've seen three different approaches how to understand this introduction. Either it's telling you, by the way, I'm about to give you a whole list of forbidden sexual practices, but before I do, you should also know, even if something doesn't make the list, but it smacks of promiscuity, morality, or idolatry, also don't do it. Right? And don't be fooled by the fact, okay, that's the first approach. Second approach is that don't engage in their behaviors that are listed. And even if they turn to a law, and therefore the law implies rationality, still it's forbidden. Don't get confused. The Torah's sense of what is right and wrong is not necessarily consistent with outside values, even if these outside values become laws. And number three, the third approach, the Torah wants to tell, yeah, I'm going to tell you all these forbidden relationships, but I want you to know that chukim and mishpatim go hand in hand. You want to build a society of morality, you need to have a family life of holiness. So these laws that I'm about to mention to you are not only prohibitions, but they are the basis for creating a society of holiness, which is what we want to create in the Jewish community.